بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we were talking about the way Nabi Sallallahu differentiated himself in terms of leadership. I am today in a place called Kirakare, which is right down south in Tamil Nadu. We are, as the crow flies, we are roughly maybe 25 miles from Sri Lanka, across the strait. And as you can see, I'm standing by the seaside, fishing boats behind me, the lot of seafront houses in front of me. The Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you just think and reflect on this water is the same water that came to the earth in the first massive storms that came when the planet was being formed. It is the very same water. If you think about that, it's the same water which has been on this planet for Allah knows how many millions or billions of years. And water is a substance which is simultaneously, which exists in its three states: liquid, gas and solid. And that's what we are standing. So when we look at things, we should reflect on them. Just don't look at the view and say, oh, nice water, nice sand and so on. There's much more to it than that. We come to the last and final stage of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. And when I think about that and I reflect on it and say, how did he differentiate himself? A couple of things that stand out and come to mind. The first thing is that starting from the Thursday before the Monday that he passed away, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu as the Imam. Now this, many people say that Rasulullah ﷺ did not appoint his successor. He did not name his successor. But we must read history, and when you read history, the most important thing to do in history is not apply your standard, not apply your understanding, standing wherever you are today in the 20th century or the 10,000th century, but look at what was the understanding, what was the culture, what was the context in which the incident happened. The culture and the context of the Sahaba was that Salah was the head of the matter. For everything, they looked at Salah as the number one thing. Any example they made in life was based on the Salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, when he gave examples, he always gave examples of the Salah. For example, take the Hadith Jibreel, for example. When Jibreel asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mal ihsan ya Rasulullah? What is ihsan ya Rasulullah? What example did he give? He gives the example of Salah. Anta abudallaha ka annaka tara. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have given ihsan, the example of ihsan, in practically every single aspect of life, because ihsan is not restricted to Salah. Ihsan is in everything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have given the example of ihsan in treating your family, in your public space, and so on and so forth. He gave the example of Salah, because the understanding of the Nabi alayhi salam and the Sahaba was that Salah is the essence of the matter, and Salah encapsulates the entire life of the Muslim. So when we make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Salah, this is the physical sajda before Allah, but our mental sajda, our spiritual sajda, our sajda in terms of our context, our lives and so on, this is all of that is sujood, because sujood is to submit your will to the will of Allah. Sujood is to submit yourself to the hukum of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment the Imam says Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, what you do? You bow. Whether it is in ruku or salah, the moment the Imam says Allahu Akbar, we fall in sujood. So when we look at the world, when we come to any decision in life, has Allah become asghar now? Has Allah become now smaller than your will, than your nafs? No. Allah is still Akbar. So if Allah is Akbar, and when we say Allahu Akbar, the thing to do is to fall in sujood, then when we say Allahu Akbar in any life decision, then the thing to do is to fall in sujood in that decision, meaning do what Allah has ordered and do not do what Allah has not ordered. As simple as that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this example. Now, he therefore appointed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu as the Imam. Now this is, to me anyway, wallahu alam, this is a clear indication that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred and nominated Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as the Imam and not anybody else. Further proof, anybody wants, one time In that period between the Thursday and the Monday, Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was not there. Bilal radhiyallahu anhu called the adhan. Then there was no imam because Abu Bakr Siddiq was not there radhiyallahu anhu. So Bilal radhiyallahu anhu said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, you please lead the salah. So Umar radhiyallahu anhu led the salah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam objected. He said, who told Umar to lead the salah? He said, Allah and His Nabi and the Muslims do not accept anyone other than Abu Bakr as the imam. Now why does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? Now Sayyidina Umar got very upset with Bilal. He said, you put me in trouble. Bilal said, no, I did not put you in trouble. I did what is accepted among all of us, which is that after the Nabi is Abu Bakr and after Abu Bakr is you. So this also establishes the Khilafah and the Khulafa-i Rashideen in terms of who takes precedence over whom. And both the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest stations in Jannah, and may Allah grant them the qurb and the suhbat of the one they loved the most, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah include all of us among them. This precedence was also established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime. Final dalil in this, a woman came to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked a question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come tomorrow. She said, Ya Rasulullah, if I come tomorrow and you are not there, meaning you are not physically there, maybe you passed away, whatever she meant. She said, if I come tomorrow, if you are not there, what must I do? He said, ask Abu Bakr. She said, if Abu Bakr is not there, what must I do? He said, ask Umar. So this is a sequence and a precedence that is established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So now, to come back to our story, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was the Imam of the Salah. And then in the Isha Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. He could not even, think about this. Where is his house? His house is right next, not just next to the masjid. It has a common wall with the masjid. His door opens into the masjid. Right? So close. Does he pray the Farz Salah in the house? No. He comes to the masjid. Does he pray the Farz Salah in the house when he is sick? No. He comes to the masjid even when he is unable to walk. Two people carry him, and the Ravi of the Hadith says, we saw his feet dragging on the floor. He could not even support his own weight, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could not even support his own weight. There were two people who were carrying him, literally on either shoulder, who were carrying him. Yet he came into the masjid to pray the salah. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was leading. He suddenly heard some commotion behind him and he realized what must be happening. So he moved back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand on his back and he pushed him forward and he said, lead. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat and he prayed sitting next to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And then we come to the last day when the Sahaba said that we were standing in Salah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was leading, and this is Salatul Fajr. And they said, suddenly it was like the masjid was illuminated by a noor. And that was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved aside the curtain from his house, from his room, and he looked at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. What were they doing? They were in Salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, and the Ravi of the Hadith says it was like as if the sun was shining. It was so beautiful that we saw this noor from the Nabi alayhi salam spread in the whole masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy, and his final wasiyah, and I want to close with that. A person says at his time of death, the wasiyat which a person gives. The person gives the wasiyah, and that wasiyah is what? So the wasiyat is something which a person does on his deathbed, and he says that which is the most important to him. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah. He said, guard your salah, pray, make sure. Because the salah is the head of the matter. And the one whose salah is perfect, inshallah, that person's life will be perfect. Because the salah is something which must spread in our entire lives. The way we pray, the way we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we do only what Allah has ordered, we don't add anything in the salah, we don't take out anything in the salah, we don't change it because I don't like this or I don't like that. All of this is a marker for us about how we should lead our own life. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to learn from what he has taught us in his life and to make his life an example for our lives, because this is the best example. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.